What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can listen to us anywhere you are by going to get the Civic Media app live anywhere on this rock we call Earth. This afternoon, I'm joined with Dr. Joanne Oravec, who spent more than 35 years as a professor at the University of Wisconsin, as well as the City University of New York, teaching about IT, business, public policy. She's got a book out called Good Robot, Bad Robot, Dark and Creepy Sides of Robotics, Autonomous Vehicles, and Artificial Intelligence. You can get a copy of her book. She's willing to share. Just text or call us here at Civic Media. That's 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. And we'll get you hooked up. It is written for me and you. You do not have to be a robot scientist to get some value from Joanne's great academic work. You talked a little bit before the break, Joanne, about facial recognition. We were talking about military applications. Effectively trying to encourage us to understand both the potential and the peril of artificial intelligence and robots. We know that facial recognition doesn't recognize some faces. We know that facial recognition gets faces wrong sometimes. We know that machines and robots make mistakes. And so the great question becomes, how are we going to regulate these things? And it doesn't pass my notice, and I'm going to talk about it in detail after the bottom of the hour, that right now, the House of Representatives has just adopted a ban on TikTok unless it is basically divested of Chinese ownership. And to me, this is an example of, and I'm going to share with listeners more about why my opinion is what it is. But in response to technological advances in these different applications, if our response is to ban that which we don't understand, instead of attempting to reasonably regulate it, as informed by experts like yourself, what are we doing then, right? This sort of knee-jerk, fear-based response to things that we don't know or we don't know how to explain or understand, if it's to ban all those things, is that a workable solution?
Well, we've got a number of situations here. Facial recognition can be used in all sorts of positive ways.
Yes.
I would like it to recognize students' names. I'm horrible with them and all of that. It would be great to do that type of recognition. But what we've got also is a powerful tool that can be used for ill. Now, we've all been through the experience of Oppenheimer, whether or not you've seen the film or maybe just a few segments of newsreels and all of that from the period. People who are the developers of these technologies really are going through some ethical qualms.
Yes.
I know a number of them, and there are people who are quitting their jobs because they're saying we don't want what we have been developing to be used in places like Gaza and Ukraine and all of that. So that level of controversy is out there, and that level of response is out there. So again, that's one way of handling the situation. The technologies we're talking about are so becoming so embedded in everything
right.
that we're doing that getting them out is going to be a near impossibility. I mean, every product and all of that. And these large language models, of course, are incredibly powerful. And just one aspect,
can you tell,
too, where,
Joanne, I'm yeah. sorry to interrupt. Tell people what a large language model is, because I'm not sure everybody's familiar with it.
Okay. What we're dealing with are a class of tools called a generative AI, like ChatGPT. That's generative pre-trained transformer. For the GPT, and these technologies are trained like kids are trained. You know, if you have a little kid and you take the kid through museums and you take the kid through art shows and all of that, and say this is Picasso and this is the Mona Lisa and all of that. That's the type of thing that we are doing with these technologies, except we're doing at a tremendous level. And at some point, I know that people will be interested in the environmental aspects of it, because the servers are so huge. There was something on 60 Minutes, maybe 6 months ago, on this. And it's becoming local. I mean, relatively local in the Midwest. West Des Moines has one of these
server
farms. Yeah. And Microsoft is taking a huge amount of fresh water.
Yes. To cool it.
Yes. As cool it and all of that. And that's only going to be continuing, as well as the need for all the minerals that we, the exotic minerals that we need to develop these things.
Copper, especially, right? Which copper is extremely hard to extract. It involves chemical, mechanical, industrial processes. Sorry to jump in, but just so people have an understanding, there's been articles written about folks that live adjacent, even within like 5 miles of server farms, hearing the hum. It raises the temperatures around the server farms. It's huge in terms of the amount of resources and potentially environmental impacts of these things.
And it certainly affects wildlife as well.
Oh,
I know there are many people who are listening right now who are very high on the conservation spectrum.
Yes.
What we need to do, again, is ask those stupid questions. I think that when people said in West Des Moines, oh, you can build that server farm here, Microsoft, and we won't ask that many questions. All you need is a little water, go ahead. They won't realize that every time you make a query, use a prompt. Okay, it's not exactly the same thing, but I didn't want to get too technical. Design a prompt for the large language model and get some of that information out. You are using basically 16 ounces of fresh water. Okay, you
one
are
wasting prompt.
One prompt. Okay,
16 ounces of fresh water. You heard
exactly.
It here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Right. So again, we're dealing with things that are getting more complex along those lines and more powerful in terms of what they're collecting. And here are the, I know we only have a couple minutes left. So here are the attorneys need to get into play. We're talking about the way that these things could be controlled with legislation. A lot of what's going on right now could be in violation of some copyright law, certainly at the international levels. Many
yes.
nations are saying, hey, I never gave permission for you to hoover up. That term is actually used in technical articles to vacuum clean up all these articles and images and all and pieces
to take the
data. Yes, and indeed that type of thing. If there is blockage along those lines, there could be some setbacks in terms of where the technology would grow. Now, whether or not those setbacks are the types of things we should promote, maybe we should go gung-ho with the technology just to think that maybe one of the people who uses ChatGPT is going to cure cancer with it or
right.
something. That's a real possibility. That's very important to realize. I'm just one point, though, ending about how we're talking about training for AI and all of that. You might think, we all need to understand how these work just by playing with them, and you can play with them fairly easily. A subscription to a ChatGPT service, and premium subscriptions even you can get for relatively cheaply, and you can use free models, free basic models of them. But what you need to know, what we all need to know, is that the whole world of programming is changing, and dealing with computers are changing. And I'm working at a computer place right now, an AI startup, Inspira, that's firing a lot of programmers. Okay, my job is secure because I'm at a different level, but they're firing a lot of programmers. That's scary.
Yeah.
When you think that ChatGPT can program itself, well, other programs, basically. And that's where we get into all these creepy notions about the singularity and these computers becoming so intelligent they won't even need us. They'll be programming themselves.
Correct.
But why would they need a Joanne Orovic to be playing with
that them? Self-learning, right, is part of the challenge. It's my opinion that there are crucial elements that should be taught at all levels of our educational system. And that we need to require within public school and all educational systems, and that is How do you read and consume news? How do you source news? How do you differentiate news from entertainment, from commentary? I'm not a news person. I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator. Don't mistake what I do for news. It ain't news. We need to teach people how to use large language models like ChatGPT. We need to teach children the risks and the benefits of these things, as well as social media. We need to re-educate ourselves, understand that we're at a massive tipping point for all of humanity, and we need to demand from our legislators that they humble themselves to become educated. How about some mandatory learning for elected officials, right? And I, your point, Joanne, that there's no stupid question is so the point. I wish. My experience in government is that oftentimes elected officials are afraid to ask questions because they're afraid to look dumb. The only stupid question is the one that goes unasked. And we're talking, when we're talking about things like potentially autonomous learning by robots, by AI, it's time that we all humble ourselves and start to ask some of these questions so that we can be knowledgeable consumers and demand that government be responsive. We wouldn't be talking about banning TikTok if we had regulated algorithms, if we had regulated how people's information and data is scraped, if we had declared that your data footprint is actual personal property and required proper disclosures to users of these platforms who get the benefit for free. But it's not free. It seems free, but that's an illusion. You're paying for it by giving away your human fingerprint, every little bit about you, the way you think, feel, act, what kind of dog you like, or if you like cats more. It's all there. Those are the sorts of things that I believe we should be demanding of our government. And again, it pains me every time I watch these hearings. I'm not a tech expert, and they can't get the terms right. Joanne, can you stick around for one more segment?
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Wonderful. We're going to hear more from Dr. Joanne Orebeck, an AI and robotics expert, talking about the ethics surrounding these things, how we as human beings emotionally react to them, how we can better engage our elected officials, one another, and this expanding, booming technology to help better humanity, not hinder our professional and personal development. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a question for Dr. Joanne. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be going to the phones when we come back. Welcome back, Wisconsin. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Scooter, Maven, we got you. You will be getting a copy of Joanne's book. Carmella, you'll be getting a copy of Joanne's book. If you want a copy of Joanne's book, Good Robot, Bad Robot, Dark and Creepy Sides of Robotics, Autonomous Vehicles, and AI, text or call 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Also, a shout out to a texter. First time listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Great topic. Interesting discussion. Keep listening. It only gets better. We try to do this every day for you. But I can't do this work without folks like Joanne. Thanks so much for being here. I was sort of listing out a few of the things, at least to my mind, as a non-expert. But just listening to what you've had to say and from what I have been able to read and understand a bit is, you know, we should be asking legislators to think about our data in terms of property rights, much more precise and lay-friendly disclosures about when we're giving that away. We can legislate how algorithms actually run. It does get into some First Amendment questions, I think rightly so, but all great public policy questions, all great advances in technology have always had two values, sometimes at odds, which is advancement, the use of technology. Oh, and hey, if we're going to regulate the algorithm, maybe that deals with the First Amendment. We've got privacy rights. I've wondered also why government isn't more concerned about the use of deepfakes, which is effectively taking, scraping someone's image, their voice footprint, and putting words in their mouths. We saw a deep fake of President Biden not too long ago. It's pretty scary to me that somebody could basically put language into people's mouths and you can't tell the difference. They're so good now. What other and I talked about also asking government to start to require baseline education at all levels of our educational system so that we've got a future generation that is ready and able to consume and use this technology in the most productive way, in a way that is not harmful to us as a human race or to individuals. What other sorts of legislative initiatives, Joanne, come to mind? What else should we be asking for, thinking about, or talking about?
I think mental health is the highest level because we have some of the greatest minds in the world. I've met some of these folks. They are focused on getting people addicted to their products. Of course, you know, more time online, more time looking at the phone, and to manipulate us. Now,
yes,
that sounds really creepy and all that, but we all do that in our lives. Everyone, you know, I mean, you as the Maggie Dawn host, you want people to turn on the Maggie Dawn show and stay till the very ending. All
you
that.
Betcha. So,
But when TikTok uses these tools, and when, of course, they're used for political purposes and all that, we can start getting into some danger zones as to how we are using as humans our critical capabilities. And I think that bringing these designers into a room and asking those dumb questions, unintelligent questions, but simple questions, and finding out how best to counter some of the mental health issues that are happening. For example, even making your phone or your screen go black and white.
I was just going to say black and white.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, is one way of making our lives a little less linked to these technologies, coupled with these technologies. And in the future, of course, we'll be addicted to our self-driving vehicles. The number of hours we have spent in our lives learning how to be good drivers. Now,
and in the damn cars, right? Yeah. And in the cars themselves. I mean, think about all that human productive potential if people didn't have to spend all that time driving themselves around.
On the other hand, as we lose our skills,
yes,
which we've honed through so many years, a lot of us stopped driving a great deal during the pandemic. And, yep, you know, that first time going out after not having driven for a while. I lived in New York City for a while. I was teaching and I was away from cars. And when, you know, coming back here and, you know, the world relies on vehicles, I was a little shaky in my driving skills. So, again, there are a number of things that we need to be focusing on. But with all of these things, you're talking about the quality of these large language models and all of that. What we're finding out, much to our chagrin often, is that we get very, very just nonsensical responses. We get hallucinations. Some people call them confabulations.
Confabulations, yes.
Like throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yep.
I used to grade papers written by freshmen, well, not so much freshmen, sophomores. And interesting things come out of it. You know, if it works, it works. It's comical when it comes to, writing papers that we'll be reading. But when it comes to medical procedures, military procedures, it can be deadly. And we need to get a sense of that, how much we can trust what we're getting and the uses of it. And that relates to those wonderful points about education you've been talking about.
And being a smart user, right? A smart consumer. The way that we consume information and use technology has changed so fundamentally. We need to smarten up as consumers. Let's take a quick call. Jack from Merrimack, do you have a question for Joanne? And if not, say hello and make your comment. Jack?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Yeah, say hello to Joanne.
Hello, Joanne. I was on speakerphone and had to tune it into regular phone. Very quickly, when I was quite young, I was a motorcycle mechanic for a while, and we you're talking about asking questions and asking the right questions. My boss had a sign on the right above the shop manual, and it said something like, there are no dumb questions. And then on smaller print, it said, there are, however, dumb mistakes. Read the manual.
I love it, Jack. That's what we need, right? When I'm talking about education, what I'm talking about is giving us all a manual of how to operate in this new environment. It doesn't help to light the self-driving vehicle aflame. They're not going anywhere. They're coming. The question is, how do we better understand, regulate, and interact with these new technologies? We're coming up on it. Any last words, Joanne, for everybody listening out there?
We should be very aware of the fact that robo-rage is becoming a real thing, that people's frustrations with the robots in their lives, it may be the food delivery robot that you see that is bothering you because it's stopping the way you're driving, et cetera. Or for the person who's working late night shifts, you could be frustrated by that robot that is that you think might hurt you, et cetera. Those types of reactions, they're normal for human beings.
Yes.
We get frustrated, and especially it's something that is seemingly intelligent.
Yes.
And seemingly could learn better. The same way the frustrations we have with dogs. And I think that's that similarity, the way we trained dogs over the years and we trained robots over the years and we changed our society to deal with them, comes into play when we're thinking about the future and our lives with robots. And thank you again for having me on this amazing show.
Joanne, it's such a privilege and a pleasure to have you. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm going to talk about this TikTok ban and Trump's flip-flop on the TikTok when we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks to Dr. Joanne Oravec for making us all a little smarter this afternoon. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We just left Dr. Joanne Oravec, an AI and robotics expert, helping us all think better, think more clearly, and advocate better for each of us as individuals, our community, and humanity writ large. I do not want robotics and AI to go the way of what the big, you know, data scrapers and social media companies have gone, which is basically complete regulatory failure. Total and utter regulatory failure. Regulations will always sort of trail technological advances, but there's simply no excuse for the failure of Congress to meaningfully regulate this stuff. And of course, we booked Joanne and then the TikTok ban gets voted on in Congress yesterday. Overwhelming bipartisan majority basically voting to ban TikTok unless it is divested from its Chinese ownership interests. I want to get into that. The vote was 352 for the TikTok ban, 65 against, and one abstention. Will you find out who the abstention was?
I will find out who the abstention
was. Anya, because I'm just curious.
I am too now.
I just want to share a couple of texts on subject. UWM's, that's the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's, March Science Bag was on AI, topic presented by Professor Prasenji Guptasarama. Professor Prasenji Guptasarama. Excellent info, which should be available on the physics site for listeners' access. Thanks to Maggie for furthering this education. Psh, not me. That's all Dr. Joanne. Let's thank Dr. Joanne. Scott, we see your text asking for a copy of the book. We'll be sure to get you that. Returning to the TikTok ban. Here is the deal. There are ways for us to regulate where U.S.-based data that is generated by users engaging with TikTok is kept and maintained. Chinese companies do this. They basically require various U.S. companies that interact and use Chinese user data to keep that data effectively in the Chinese mainland. That's what we could do here. Now, everybody, oh, there's a national security threat, those damn Chinese. Just a point of fact. China engages in widespread corporate espionage. They will use any means necessary to get our data. It's already available if you're willing to do anything to get it. So what exactly is this going to accomplish? We could do what we need to do through regulation. But instead, we're having a panic response. Now, I'll point out a few times in our history where we've had some panic responses, and that doesn't go well. Prohibition. Nancy Reagan's war on drugs and the dumb say no thing. We've over-incarcerated ourselves into oblivion because of that. The satanic panic of the 80s. There was, oh my gosh, video game overreaction. Now, some of that didn't stick. But perhaps most recently in all of our memory, the Patriot Act. Now we're worried about our information and privacy and data? Where were all these people after 9/11? This is what happens to us as human beings. Something bad happens. A very real threat presents itself. This is what Joanne was talking about in the last hour with me about robot rage. We don't understand it. We fear it. Something bad happens. It's not working well. So what do? We tend to overreact. And guess who's the worst about that? Politicians. Politicians are the most histrionic overreactors I have ever engaged with. Just, I want to be the first to sponsor the bill to do the thing to stop the thing. No, maybe you should stop, read something about it, talk to some experts. So I don't want to bury the lead here. I think this TikTok ban is stupid. And what it's going to do is give people a false sense of security. And that is more dangerous than TikTok could ever be. Call me up and tell me if I'm wrong. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Jasmine Crockett, a Democrat from Dallas, Texas, was marked as present. She didn't abstain. She just did not vote. I wonder if she missed the vote.
Yeah, it's unclear here the way it breaks down. It has the options of yes, no, present, or not present. And hers just says, she's the only one who's just says present. So I think that's what they meant.
Interesting. I think, and I don't know this, perhaps our expert co-host Todd Alba might know.
There we go.
Is the format that there's no actual abstention in Congress? I think that's probably what it is. If you don't mind Googling a little bit, Anya, they don't abstain. They just vote present, which has the effect of an abstention because it counts, does not count for the yay side. I also, Anya, let's listen to one of the things that I think is really interesting here is Trump's flip-flop on the TikTok. So let's start with Trump. Like about a year ago, advocating for the TikTok ban. Let's listen to the sound.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options, but a lot of things are happening. So we'll see what happens. But we are looking at a lot of alternatives with respect to TikTok.
So that was obviously from his presidency. There's other contemporaneous reporting of Trump advocating strongly for a ban. This was kind of his hawkish policy on China. again, my point, not just about a guy like Trump, who talks out of both sides of his mouth all the time, like his position on an issue is, how is this going to make me richer or make me more popular? And that is what his position on the issue is. But other politicians that, again, overreact, don't educate themselves, don't know what they're regulating or exactly what all of it means, basically just listen to lobbyists and go off half-cocked and legislate something that ends up having all kinds of perhaps unintended negative consequences and sometimes very intentional negative consequences for all of us. It's just when a problem arises, it shouldn't be race to legislate. It should be educate, then legislate. They still haven't done anything about social media writ large. TikTok? What about Facebook? What about Twitter? Again, if China wants to steal our data and manipulate our minds, there's plenty of other ways for China to do that other than freaking TikTok. Have you, anybody watch TikTok videos? It's like dance memes and things. I mean, mind manipulation, manipulation of our thoughts, feelings, preferences is readily available to anybody who wants to commit the resources to hack it, steal it, use it. I mean, come on. Russia did this back in 2016, helped Trump win the election. Now let's, so Trump, oh, we're going to ban TikTok. It's bad. We're looking at things. Things are happening. Ban TikTok. Now, Trump yesterday on CNBC.
I could have banned TikTok. I had it banned just about. I could have gotten it done. But I said, you know what? But I'll leave it up to you. I didn't push them too hard because, you know, let them do their own research and development. And they decided not to do it. But as you know, I was at the point where I could have gotten it done if I wanted to. I sort of said, you guys decide. You make that decision because it's a tough decision to make. Frankly, there are a lot of people on TikTok that love it. There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. There are a lot of users. There's, you know, a lot of good and there's a lot of bad with TikTok. But the thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger. And I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media.
So why aren't you banning? It's just a bunch of nonsense. Perhaps this might be why Trump has flipped up on the TikTok. Then we're going to go to the phones. 855-75-CIVIC. You got a question, comment, thought, 855-75-CIVIC. This is according to GOP strategist Alex Brusewicz. Quote, I don't get the rush to ban TikTok in the middle of an election year when we are making tremendous progress on TikTok with Gen Z. MAGA content does very well on TikTok, and Meta is suppressing MAGA content on both Facebook and Instagram. Perhaps this is why Donald Trump is now pro-TikTok and wants Facebook shut down. Again, you want to know Trump's policy on anything, just ask your question. Is it helping him get rich or get powerful? If it's helping him get rich or powerful, he will be pro. If it's hindering him getting richer or more powerful, he will oppose it. That's it, because Trump isn't a party. He's not a philosophy. He doesn't have any politics. His entire thing is whatever's good for me. Only that guy can argue that a president can do whatever they want, commit whatever crimes they want, because whatever a president does is presumptively good for the country, except it's not. Tucker Carlson also suggested that there was a, quote, hidden agenda, saying on his former Fox News show, quote, it's creepy, low IQ Chinese plot, but that does not mean that people trying to ban TikTok have your interests in mind. Again, Tucker Carlson is a source of information or commentary, not really what I would call a reliable source. And then there's this. Trump's newly repaired relationship with billionaire Jeff Yass, who has a huge financial stake in ByteDance, which is one of the owners of TikTok. So, in other words, Trump has found a billionaire benefactor who supports Trump, and the guy owns a huge chunk of TikTok. So, again, might it help him become more powerful or more wealthy? That's what his policy. And now TikTok to Trump appears to make him potentially more powerful and more wealthy. So now he's pro-TikTok. Why was he talking about banning it before? Because that was kind of the popular thing at the time. And so he wanted to tap into that popular sentiment to make himself, what, more powerful? Now it's helping him. So flippity-flop on the tickety-tock.
I'll say, too, at that time that he wanted to ban TikTok, a really big thing was the Gen Z folks who were using trolling as a form of activism to say, hey, you know, he's going to have this speech. It's free tickets. You just have to register. And Trump was showing up to empty stadiums because of this. So he's always lashing out. He's lashing out at Facebook. Facebook and Instagram banned him for 2 years. People on TikTok promoted the idea of embarrassing him. I mean, There's like teeny tiny bits of activism that were happening there. And he was like, I got to get that.
Yeah, shut that down.
That's exactly it.
Right. I mean, Anya's filling in the detail of the principle that we just all articulated. We want to know what Trump's stance on any issue is. Ask yourself what's going to make him more money or make him more powerful, and that will dictate his stance. Yep. Every time, without fail, doesn't matter what it is. Does not matter what it is. What that is debased. It has no moral core. It has no policy core. It has no platform. That's why he ran in 2020 without any published policy platform at all. It's why, as I explained yesterday on this show, which you can find at civicmedia.us, it is why when Trump's defenders like Katie Britt and Nancy Mace, when they're asked tough questions by actual journalists, and I'm not one of them, when they're asked actual questions, they end up in verbal pretzels that make them sound like idiots. They end up lying about things, misdirecting, misconstruing, dodging questions because there's no core. There's no fundamental principle. Listen, let's disagree about things. I think that that's healthy and good. But have a set of organizing principles. The GOP used to have that. I could identify conservatism. I don't know what Trumpism is, other than xenophobic, misogynist racism. And even if you're not a racist, you're not a misogynist, you're not a xenophobe. What does it mean when you support the guy that puts out policies that are exactly that over and over and over again? Trump's TikTok, flip-flop. Why? Because it'll make it richer and more powerful. TikTok ban stupid. Regulate it, Congress. Don't go anywhere, anybody. We're going to take calls. I've also got Terry Bell coming on the line because President Biden is speaking in Milwaukee about a huge infrastructure package at 4 p.m. The Devils are going to have it. I'm going to lead you right into it. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll take a couple calls. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC. Get your 2 cents in. Keep it locked, everybody. They be like, ooh, let them eat cake. But we eat Wang and throw them bones on the ground. M-I-A-F-E-M-I-B-A-R-D-A-N. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Because I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom ride in hell. Hey, I'm going to keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves. And you're listening to the Maggie Dunn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I was talking about Trump's big flip-flop on the TikTok before the break. We had Dr. Joanne Oravec as a special guest talking about AI and robotics. I want to give my good friend Mark from Prairie du Sac a shot at it. Mark, thanks for waiting. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, well, first off, you know, Donald Trump is not GM, so let's put that aside right now. but getting to like the AI issue, I mean, I thought about some of these issues. You know, for that, the movie Looker from 1981 made me think about, you know, that brought back to mind where they were murdering all the perfect looking women so they could use their images to sell product and use their images for free of charge. That kind of links in there. And then the movie Westworld from 1972, where Yul Brynner was the gunfighter.
Yep.
When things go wrong, they can go catastrophically wrong, as what is Jeff Goldblum pointed out in the first Jurassic Park. When things go to hell, they go to hell fast.
Go all the way. Yep.
Yeah,
I think that, sorry to cut you off, Mark. I want to get our friend Terry Bell in here. But yeah, I think that's Joanne's point. Let's regulate, let's educate, let's become knowledgeable consumers of all of these products. Of course, Westworld became a huge HBO hit series riffing off the theme. Really creepy. Gave me nightmares. But enough about that. We're building communities that are connected. At least Joe Biden is. Welcome, Terry Bell, our news director here at Civic Media. You are at the location where Joe Biden's given his speech, aren't you?
I sure am, Maggie. In fact, this almost never happens. The event got started a little early, so that sort of threw a wrench into my plans. But, you know, we're adaptable. We do what we have to do. We adjust and adapt.
Wow. Is the president speaking yet?
I think he's just winding down his remarks now. In order to be able to get on the phone with you, I had to step outside the venue. But that's fine. You know, we've got the whole team covering us, so I'm happy to be talking with you and
ready to sit down and edit the president's remarks as soon as I get back to the studio.
Yeah, you'll be hearing it all over civic media this evening and tomorrow. Terry Bell, always a great connect for everybody in the civic media family, bringing us all the good facts and news. What President Biden is talking about today, right, is what is the, let's see, $3.3 billion infrastructure that he has allocated to 132 communities, part of the U.S. Department of Transportation, Transportation's Reconnecting Communities and Neighborhoods Grant Program in fiscal year 2023. That's when that was adopted as part of the budget. What's that all about, Terry? What is Reconnecting Communities and Neighborhood Grants? What are those?
Well, it's, yeah, sure. It starts with a little bit of history. Back in the 1960s, when Interstates 94 and 43 were built in Milwaukee, what happened was a lot of majority-minority neighborhoods, or at least so-called, were really devastated because a lot of homes got displaced, literally got paved over. Yes. For these freeways. This happened in a lot of neighborhoods like this around the country, 40 states or so, when the interstate system was built. A lot of Latino and Black neighborhoods literally got leveled and paved over and split up. I mean, you had neighborhoods that were thriving middle-class bastions, and then they just became split in two. You know, somebody who was once your neighbor a couple blocks down, you're completely cut off of them because there is a freeway between your house and theirs. And it did a lot of harm in those areas. And what's happening here is an attempt to what the president called right and historical wrong. Now, this project is actually years in the making. I think this was an initiative that got started when Tom Barrett was mayor. Mm. But this is going to get a big shot in the arm, $3 billion nationwide, $36 million to repair what they call the 6th Street Corridor here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's they call it a complete street program, which I think speaks to that historical precedent that you were talking about, Terry. That complete street is about pedestrian safety as well as other vulnerable users, those that are differently abled, street signs that encourage walking, biking, and public transit use. That really tries to bring the broader community together and doesn't have these major thoroughfares, whether they're expressways like what slammed through Black and Latino neighborhoods in Milwaukee, or just major arterial thoroughfares like 6th Street is. And it's really about people being able to connect, walk, and be in community with one another safely. Again, that's $36.6 million to the city of Milwaukee for the 6th Street corridor. What was the atmosphere like, Terry?
Well, it was like a lot of these things that I have covered over the past many years. It's an invitation-only gathering, and so the crowd is very friendly and supportive. A lot of speakers beforehand, including Governor Evers, Congresswoman Gwen Moore, David Crowley, the county executive, Cavalier Johnson, the mayor, all having their moment at the podium. And, supportive crowd, I'd say a room of north of 100 people.
And where was it? Where was the event held?
Correct me if I'm getting the pronunciation wrong. The Piper Hillside Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, that sounds correct to me. So at the Boys and Girls Club. Listen, Terry, thanks for being our man on scene, giving us that in-person update. Sorry we missed the president's comments, but I know you'll have it for all of our civic media listeners in our news bits at the top of the hour across the network coming up shortly. Thanks so much, Terry.
Thanks, Maggie.
Good to talk to Terry Bell, civic media's news director, live on scene for President Joe Biden's announcement of a $36.6 million grant for the city of Milwaukee's 6th Street corridor to have complete streets. That's Joe Biden bringing our middle-class neighborhoods together. Speaking of Joe Biden and Mayor Cavalier Johnson, get out your calendars, pick up that phone unless you're driving, and put this one in the books. Next Wednesday, March 20th, I will be doing a longer interview with City of Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, not just about these different projects and initiatives, but getting to know Chevy as he's called by his friends, a little bit better as a person. That's it for me this afternoon. You got the Devil's Advocates coming up next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it's better when we stand together. Go Joe Biden!
Tears going fast.